Okay, speaking of.
Oh, God.
Being
what?
A little
bitch. What? What?
This is my issue with Taylor Swift.
No, you can't.
Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, Tara,
sorry.
You can't transition back to Taylor with speaking of being
okay,
a little
bitch. Let me.
You know, they say women shouldn't be bossy.
We're out here reclaiming that word. What's so wrong with being the boss? I'm Tara Reid, the CEO of a multi-million dollar ed tech business.
And I'm Katie Gatti Tossan, better known as Money with Katie on the internet.
At our core, we're driven by a shared ambition to build our own mini empires.
Welcome to Bossy. All right, so the conversation that I would like to have today, it's going to sound like it has nothing to do with building businesses, but I actually think it's one of the most important things that's often overlooked.
What?
And the thing is confidence.
Ooh.
Your entrepreneurial confidence, like your style. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your confidence, like how you approach confidence.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like what is the, I don't want to see the persona that you're embodying, but like a little bit.
Yeah.
So the reason that this is on my mind is because a couple months ago, I got to see my president, Taylor Allison Swift, in concert.
Allison, you know her middle name?
Allison with one L, in fact. We're committed. So
okay.
But here's the thing, is that I didn't have tickets. Like, I don't know how much you followed this, if at all, but it was this big thing where no one could get tickets.
Sold out.
Ticketmaster, like, crashed. People that were in the wait lists, like, got into the queue and then were trying to check
it's
out.
A second market situation.
You're, yes.
Yeah.
It's black market tickets.
Black
like,
market
you
ticket
are
situation.
Gonna,
okay.
You're gonna give your, like, left hand, your firstborn,
second
if
market
you wanna be there.
Fancy art term word
oh,
version of this. It's black market. Okay.
It's black market.
Okay.
So. It's the morning of the show, though, and it's in Denver. I live 2 hours north of Denver, and I literally couldn't fathom, I couldn't live with the idea that she was going to be there that night singing 44 songs for 3 hours, and I wasn't going to be there. So
it
I
just broke your
it
heart.
Literally, my hand was moving
like
to buy the
ticket. I'm
watching
you have an emotional response
before,
right now.
Before I knew what was happening. I'm not even comfortable disclosing how much I paid for these
seats. Wait, how much you pay? I'm probably not going to think it's outrageous. You make money, you know.
Guess.
$2,500.
Close.
$2,000.
It was $2,000.
That sounds reasonable.
And I was like
me.
Doing the like, thank
I
you
spent
for
$2,000 on an outfit. Sometimes you gotta drop 2,000.
But I was like, I just know that the memory dividends of this $2,000, it is gonna be the best experience because this is truly how I thought about it. I sent my friend a voice memo ahead of time and I said, I feel like being in her presence and watching her do this is gonna physically like change me.
I actually
force
can get down
field.
With that.
You know what I'm saying?
Did it happen?
Yes.
Because I saw you post this on your stories and you were like ugly crying.
Crying.
Like full Kim Kardashian ugly crying.
It was such a testament to like all the things that mattered to me. So like endurance, excellence, showing up, like consistency.
Yeah.
I just so admire her. And I think I could go on for hours, but I know you're not like a huge fan, but I just really think that she's at the top of her game, and she's been at the top of her game, and I just think that's incredible.
Okay, so, like, I respect Taylor Swift. Like, I have to put some respect on her name because she mm-hmm. creates whole economies when she comes into town. So,
yeah.
Like, I 100% respect that.
Okay.
It's not that I don't have respect for her or don't, like, I just don't, I don't find her to be aspirational
okay.
for me. Like, that's not the person of all the celebrities out there that I'm like, oh, Taylor Swift.
Why
like
not?
That.
Like, what is not aspirational to you?
Okay, I think Taylor Swift has this, like, okay, going back to confidence style.
Yes.
Taylor Swift has this confidence style that's kind of like, I'm proving myself. I'm, like, working real hard to be
mm-hmm.
here. Like, so much of it is about sort of, like, the hard work, the pursuit. And I think there are just other people whose confidence styles I admire more. Like, for example, like a Rihanna has like a, I don't really care. I don't need to prove myself to you. Like, I'm here without the proof. Like, I'm just here being fly. And like, to me, that's more of an aspirational energy. And I think Taylor Swift has like a humbleness about her too that I also don't aspire to be like. Like, when you look up humble in the different the dictionary, it says like having a low opinion of oneself when you look up humble.
What is it about? So have you ever felt like you were on the same wavelength, though? Because I hear things like...
Of Taylor Swift?
Yeah, or like the hard work. The, like, I'm going to prove that I deserve to be here. Like, that fires me up.
Yeah.
Like, I hear that, and I'm like, hell yeah. Let me... It's like the spite blog, right? Chip on your shoulder energy. There's something about that that's so motivational.
I'm
going
to launch a business to like prove it to people. I'm going to like go on this performance.
I'm going to usurp you and see.
Do you feel like I'm right that that is what she's doing? She's like, is that energy read?
Yes. And I think that
a fan?
She has even said that herself. Like in the Miss Americana documentary, she talks.
She's like, and I quote, because I watched it 5 times.
Timestamp 34 minutes, 17 seconds. No, she says that after Kanye West interrupted her at the VMAs when she was 17, she said, I thought the entire room was booing me, not him.
Yeah, it's a little traumatic.
Formative experience, total PTSD moment.
Yeah.
But that she was like, I feel like I'm only here because I work hard and I'm nice to people. And if that's why I'm here, then like I am going to prove to everyone that doubts me being up here on this stage winning this award that I deserve to be here. So I think she would tell you herself that that is like a huge motivating factor. So I think you're picking up on something accurate.
Okay. Yeah. I don't really know even like how exactly I picked that up, but I do think for me, like that's not like what I want and love in a celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, particularly like to go and have this like experience of feeding off their energy, which I do think is like a cool, like I like that you did that.
Mm-hmm.
What were you crying about?
I think, okay, like, should I start tearing up? Just to start, well,
no, know. I just really want to know, like, what were you crying? Like,
I started crying at a couple separate points. In the beginning, I cried when she was coming out because just the energy in the stadium, like, I can't explain how it feels to be with 80,000 other people that are just as amped up to be there and to have so many people where this is like the pinnacle of their year and you're all experiencing it at the same time. And I think that there's like a great magnetism that she has to like bring that out in people.
And so most celebrities that do like big stadiums, they have that
just
vibration.
To have that presence.
Yeah.
I think is very inspiring and very cool to be in the presence of.
So that
made me tear up in the beginning because it was like, oh my God, I have like full body chills. What really had me ugly crying, what I took the video of was more
can
just.
Can we post this on our socials so you
this.
Can, like, people can
the
see?
The best
this
is that I'm just
ugly
like.
Cry.
Covered in glitter and, like, the tear marks coming down my face.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this is the. You look up.
So, what was the main part?
In the dictionary.
No,
and there
not
I
basic.
Am.
It's not basic. What was the main thing that, that like, triggered the cry, though?
It was the full circleness of it all because she was singing a song that I used to listen to when I was, like, a freshman in high school that I loved.
The nostalgia.
And it was the nostalgia of, like, oh my God, that little version of me would be so psyched if she, like, she has no clue what's coming for her. And so then to, like,
if she saw you now.
Yeah,
young,
she'd be like,
now,
oh, okay,
hell
yeah.
Cry worthy.
You know?
I can
and so to
that.
Be, like, standing there listening to that song and reflecting on just, like, that when I was 15 years old, and it's like, you know, how much life has changed in the intervening, like, decade and a half, just to have that moment of, like, oh, my God, I'm sitting here listening to that same thing.
Yeah.
That same person, but somehow so different, and, like, so much has happened. I think that that was the
so this concept, I love this concept of, like, seeing your own growth, kind of, like, looking back at your own life. And I think, like, it's such an interesting conversation framed in entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is this humongous mirror.
Dude.
Where you just get to, like, see yourself, the places where you're growing, the places where you're not growing and actively just, like, choosing to avoid. Like, it, there's no other person to blame but you in entrepreneurship. And so, like, it particularly creates these scenarios where you can see, like, how you've grown and what, like, earlier version of you, like, would be so proud of this version of you, or what areas you're not, like, fully living in your power, right? Where like maybe the future, a previous version of you would not be as proud. And do you think
that that's part of why it doesn't like what she's about doesn't resonate with you? Is there a past version of you that you're like seeing in that you're like,
yeah,
I don't want that.
I think for me, like I have kind of like dedicated my life purpose really around the like growing of, I would call it like my self-actualization is like the woo-woo way that I would describe it. But really, I think it's like expanding my own confidence. And okay. I spend a lot of time in like an active practice of expanding my own confidence. And so I do think that there are some elements of like Taylor Swift's like trying to prove it, but like not like when you're trying to prove it, you don't really feel like you're fully
yes.
Like that's why you're trying to prove it. So right. Like, there's some elements of that I feel like I'm either outgrown, like just are not aspirational for me, right? Maybe that was a previous stage. Like for sure I think I've had a huge growth in my confidence. Like I think over the last 5 years, like if you look at pictures of me from 5 years ago, I look like a completely different person.
You know what's so funny now that I'm just realizing this? What? Is you mentioned that you love Rihanna yes. and like her style.
Yes.
You're wearing a head-to-toe red outfit and it's very much giving Rihanna Super Bowl performance.
Listen.
I'm like in the best
Speaking
way.
Speaking of confidence. Okay, so for me, like fashion is a portal for me for stepping into my confidence. Mm-hmm. And I kind of play this game with myself where I create challenges. It's not just limited to fashion, but fashion's kind of a fun place to do it. Where essentially I ask myself, like, what is something that current Tara is terrified to do, but future Tara does all the time, like with ease. And specifically, like when I think about like my outfit that I'm wearing now, like the outfits that I've been thinking about and like planning for our show, like that was my challenge to be like, what are some things that like current Tara would totally not wear, but future Tara wears all the time? Go get the outfits. And I create these little challenges for myself to like rip off the Band-Aid and do the scary
thing. So it is a challenge though, in the sense that when you put it on, do you feel like you are stepping into that, or is there a part of you that feels uncomfortable?
Okay,
in that persona.
Great question. So when I started playing this game, and like I really do like think of it as like I'm in a life-size video game. Like, you know those like, you know Monsters, Inc., where in the movie they have like the sliding panel of doors that are coming by? It's almost like the like laundry dry cleaner thing.
Yeah,
with
sliding
doors.
Door moment.
And there's like monsters and doors. For me, like I think of life as like having these like regular opportunities of these doors passing by, and they're door opportunities for you to step into and like get out of your own way and step into the next version of yourself. And most of us are just like, I don't see any doors. What doors? Like that's how like the average state that most of us live in.
Yeah.
And for me, like I've just sort of developed a practice of like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Like I'm opening doors. And sometimes I like create a door for myself. And so for example, like yes, when I look at the vision board that I created for like some of my more recent outfits, and I look at like things that I've done even like a year ago and the vision board that I created, the people who are in the vision board of like outfit inspo are different. And I can tell that I think of myself differently.
Oh, wow. So it really is a mirror in that way. You
for
are like
sure.
totally being, okay, so...
So I definitely, like, thought about Rihanna. I was like, how do we get, like, and I think there's a previous version of myself who would have never been like, how do we get Rihanna vibe red and my own spin on it? I just wouldn't have, like, saw myself that way.
So when you put that on, do you feel like your energy changes a little bit?
I think the process of planning it
is
getting it all together, that's when most of the change happens. By the time I'm there and usually in it, like, I kind of am like, who else is wearing this red outfit? It's me. Like, who else is that girl? It's you. There's no, who else is it?
Tell me, though, like, are there any other examples of this in your life where you wanted to manifest something and you were like, I need to put my brain in the space as though it has already happened? Like, how do you give me, you said that you create the challenges, or like if there isn't a door, you're gonna just make a door so you can go through it. Do you have any other examples?
I have like multiple examples. Okay, let me think of, okay, so A couple years ago, there was a conversation that was happening around potentially me selling my business to a particular company.
Okay.
And the numbers that we were talking about were just numbers that I couldn't really, like, wrap my head around. Like, I was kind of like, what?
And you
like
didn't that, sell, right?
Like, I did not did sell. Not I didn't, it didn't okay. happen. I did not sell.
Okay.
But the conversation, I realized I am not equipped to have this conversation. I'm going to, like sabotage this conversation because I can't even see myself in that. Like, I don't even know what my life
Why, was. Though? What? Because you felt like you couldn't imagine yourself with that level of
yeah.
it like felt undeserving in some way or like
I just couldn't really see it. I had no vision okay. for that. And I think like sometimes we have a vision for like the next goal, but not like what if like all the things I wanted to manifest
mm-hmm.
like really what would that look like? I think sometimes I don't have a full vision for that. So for example, when this happened, I was like, okay, well, one of the things that I would do, I really love, like, homes and architecture. So, like, one of the things that I would do is I would, like, move to Santa Monica, Venice Beach, California area, and I would get, like, a really beautiful
design California fantasy.
Home.
Like, yep.
I'm from Southern California, so actually it's like, see, I said I would never go back home, but, like,
maybe. I didn't know that about you. Well, I was like, I'm from Kentucky, yeah. so we all wanted to move to California because there's not a whole lot to do in Kentucky. But,
yeah, I get
okay,
it.
Okay, so Santa Monica...
Like not, that, you know,
it's like a fantasy for a lot of people.
I think that there's just great architecture in this spot. So, okay. And mainly, by the way, I like move for like where cool homes are. That's
yes.
how I like choose.
Because you
city.
Live in Mexico City right
but
now.
But I chose Mexico City because I was looking for a amazing apartment that inspired me anywhere in North Central or South America. So I opened up Airbnb, searched North Central and South America and just scrolled for a couple days until I found a place that I couldn't stop thinking about.
Mm.
And then, so like I kind of picked, that's also was
yeah.
a challenge, right? Like
oh.
to expand my space. And I got into that apartment and was like, well, it's you who lives here now. So you gotta be, you gotta be that girl.
Yeah. Okay.
So so in this conversation about selling my business, I realized like I have this is one thing I would do. So I get on a plane and I go to California and I go on Zillow and find some cool homes that I would buy. And I like book, you can just like go and book with the broker. No one asked me any questions like, can you afford this? I think maybe because like my like email signature says like CEO tech company or something. I don't know. Maybe that's why. But like no one asked me any qualifying
people
questions. I also
assume.
Think like at a price point, people like it's fine. Like I don't
oh,
know.
Oh my
were,
God.
If you couldn't afford it. I don't know. I couldn't afford it at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go and I see the houses and like I'm going home shopping and like doing that act put me into the space where it felt like normal.
I'm this
in
person.
The house.
I'm the person,
person
that has this house.
Yeah. And so I think I'm like even far more prepared. Like that deal didn't end up happening, but I'm far more prepared to have those sorts of conversations at that scale because I like did this challenge of like throwing myself in, ripping off the Band-Aid. So like that's kind of my practice.
It's the Lululemon. The Lululemon effect.
The Lululemon where you have to be delusional.
You got to be a little bit delusional. Well, so... I guess I'm asking, it kind of reminds me a little bit of when I was going through cycle training because...
Soul cycle training.
A different, it was a different gym
what
in
is,
Dallas, but it was same
still
concept.
Like, I'm on the bike,
still
we're blasting
we're,
music,
that's
I can't
right.
get into it.
The
okay.
lights and the whatever.
It's a no for me.
Dude, you got to come with me. That's, I asked her if she wanted to go.
I'd be on the
she
ground.
She goes, bitch, no.
Yeah, you were like at 5 a.m.
It was 6 at 6. It was a respectable time. But anyway, so I go through training and I was expecting it to be very kind of, I already taught yoga at that point, like a yoga sculpt class. So I was already an instructor of another format. And I figured, oh, I'll do a couple weeks of training for this. I thought I'd be like bing bang in and out on the podium. No problem.
Cycling is a very like confidence up, boosting
Bro.
You up kind of vibe.
Yes.
No,
you have to be a party starter. Like it is not, it's a performance far
yeah.
more than it is, a format like yoga where you have to have a lot of technical knowledge about the body. You don't really have to know anything about the body to teach a cycling class. You just have to have rhythm. You have to hear 8 counts in your head and be able to cue correctly.
Does it end up making you step into your confidence more? Like it, like I always find that, like, you know, they say like when you teach something, it's
mm-hmm.
like the best way to like learn and step into a thing. Do you feel like you learning this helped you step into something?
If anything, I think it had that mirror effect where it made me realize that I was not as comfortable with myself as I thought I was.
Ooh, okay, because that's also valuable.
I did not feel confident in that room. I taught hundreds of classes. I had taught for thousands of hours. And, like, there was something about it where during training for, like, 6 months when I'm going through this intense training, my coach had me go through so many different exercises to get comfortable. So she took me to a hip hop dance class. That was a disaster. Oh, I have to show you this video.
I used to dance competitively.
Oh my God. You did?
Yeah.
See,
I'm a choreographer.
No. But I couldn't let loose. Like, I was so controlled and so meticulous. Like, my approach to things is so, like, let me master this. Let me practice it. Watch how well.
Like your approach to business.
Yeah. Watch how well I can cross my T's. It is. Dot the I's. Every single step is pre-planned, and like
I thought this through.
Hip hop dance, not pre-planned. Teaching cycle. It is very much you have to go with the flow. You have to read the energy of the room, and so the way that they finally, I basically was only able to get over the hump to be able to teach by kind of having this persona alter ego where like there was one day in practice where she comes over and she put a hoodie on me and a backwards hat, and she goes, "Go be that."
But you're like, not the only person who puts on alter egos to step into something.
But it was just right?
Like
interesting.
Beyonce has had Sasha Fierce, and I think she's recently talked about how she no longer uses, like, she doesn't need that character anymore. But for a long time, that was what she used. I think Megan Thee Stallion, doesn't she have one too?
I don't know. Tina, does she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's her, like, name on Twitter, I think.
Yeah. Like, people have these characters that they step into in so many ways. Like, I create characters. I create whole storylines with my outfit. So, like, that's not a... Like, you're talking about, I feel like it's like a crutch, like you cheated or something.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess I don't view it as cheating. More so just that it made me realize that there was something about myself that I did not feel comfortable fully owning. And when you're on the mic up there and there's you're literally on a
podium.
You're
responsible for other people's energy.
Under a spotlight. Yes. And you have a microphone on and you are controlling the music and you're controlling what they're doing. Literally. And it just was like...
It sounds fun.
I really think though now, after the last 18 to 24 months of my life, if I went back to do it now, I think I'd be so much better because I feel like I really came into my own through the of having to figure it out every day and having to make decisions and like...
Do you think that you would be better at cycle because of how you've expanded as an entrepreneur? Is there any connection? What's the connection?
Confidence. It's just confidence.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's not skill. It's you are a performer. You're putting on a show. You're getting people into it. You have to have some technical knowledge and you have to be athletic to some degree and like whatever. But 90% of it is just swag. Like
one of the things I feel like builds my confidence as an entrepreneur is just getting like my butt kicked.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
I feel like the more I get.
Oh my God,
like,
I'm the opposite. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to. What do you mean though by getting your butt kicked?
Let me tell you what I mean by this, right? Like when stuff goes wrong in the business and you come back from it, the like number of times that you come back, you're like, I'm a cockroach. Like I'm like, I got this. So like when stuff falls, like I have a different kind of confidence that like it's okay, we've done this before.
Okay.
We've done this before. And I feel like now even like in my cohort of friends,
cockroach confidence, that
line is one that's like coming up more. It's like it's cool, like it's not great right now, but like I've done it before.
That's
a different kind of like
there's a word for that. I don't remember what the word is, but that's just
wisdom.
There's like being old, doing things.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it's just that psychological principle around how, it's like the story you're telling yourself about yourself, basically.
Mm.
And how you, I think we assume as humans that kind of like our stories are fixed or that like we are taking cues from what we're telling ourselves. But it's kind of the opposite in the sense that you are learning about yourself by watching your own
evolving
behavior. So if you are someone that's like keeping your word and doing the things that you say you're going to do, and it's like, oh, I'm the type of person who shows up every day. Well, I'm the type of person who does this. I'm the type of person who can come back when things go wrong. And sometimes I think it's self-talk that like, You know what happened to me this morning when I had to wake up for class? It was like 5:20 and my alarm went off.
Yeah.
And for a split second, I was like, I just would rather sleep in. Like, I don't want to get up and have to walk over to the studio. And I had heard this little voice in my head, and she only pops up every once in a while when I need a little kick in the pants.
Yeah.
But she goes, life's too short to be a little bitch. And I go, you know what? You're right. Sometimes you don't want to be gentle with yourself. Sometimes you don't need to be like, it's okay, sleep in. It was like, no, get up. You made a commitment. Follow
this
through.
Is interesting.
And every time I'm happy, I did.
Because sometimes that voice, like, goes overboard and is mean to the point where it's not productive. But sometimes, like, keeping a little bit
playful.
Of, like, that voice of, like, get up, you're being a little bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. I feel like, okay, speaking of...
Oh, God.
Being
what?
A little bitch.
What? What?
This is my issue with Taylor Swift.
No, you can't.
Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, Tara,
sorry.
You can't transition back to Taylor with, speaking of being
okay,
a little
let me tell you. Let me tell you what doesn't work.
Okay,
let me tell you what doesn't work. I think that there are sometimes things that I, of course, I don't know Taylor, but I read in the news that are just giving me, like, beta female energy. So
like what?
Okay, so like a few years ago, Taylor Swift had this feud with Katy Perry. Do you know this?
Wait, I don't remember this.
She had this feud with Katy Perry. There's a Rolling Stone interview of her being interviewed about the feud. And so what happened was Taylor Swift had backup dancers.
Okay.
Those backup dancers, some of those backup dancers went and worked and took a job with Katy Perry.
Okay.
Taylor felt like she's taking my dancers. And I think the dancers were like, but we have like freelance contracts.
We're freelancers.
Like, we're
ma'am.
Dancers. Let us eat.
We're freelancers.
Yeah, let us eat, please. And they got into like a petty feud about it. There's like a rumor that like Bad Blood is about this. But I looked up this Rolling Stone interview.
Oh no.
I looked up this Rolling Stone interview. Oh. Let me tell you what Taylor said. And this is the thing that,
okay.
that doesn't work
okay.
for me. Okay. So Taylor is talking about the two of them. She says, for years, I was never sure if we were friends or not. She would come up to me at award shows and say something and walk away. And I would think, are we friends or did she give me the harshest insult of my life? And I was like, oh, we're straight up enemies. She basically tried to sabotage an entire arena tour. She tried to hire a bunch of people out from under me. And so I'm surprisingly non-confrontational. So you would not believe how much I hate conflict. So now I have to avoid her. It's awkward. I don't like it.
The eye roll.
It's the beta female energy for me
roll.
That I can't aspire
What's,
to.
Yo, but what is the Tara spin? Can we talk about Tara spin for a second?
What do you mean by this?
Like, you are so good at, I'm going to use the word puppeteering, because but that sounds more manipulative.
Manipulating.
That means more manipulative than I mean. But you're very good.
I'm not manipulative.
You, oh my God. But you approach.
I know myself.
You approach conflict
yeah.
very strategically. Like, you're not going to approach something in a way that's going to make someone get
this
their back
This is not
up.
A conflict. Let the dancers go
But
dance.
That's what I'm saying, is if, but it, let's say it was, okay?
Yes.
So let's say her employees are being poached by someone else, or she thinks they're being poached by someone else.
Yes, which happens.
She's,
people get poached.
Yes, and she's saying, you know, I feel awkward, now it's a conflict.
Yeah.
What is the terrorist
spin here? I would directly tell her and send her a text message. Have my people tell your people, hey, here's my message about how my feelings are kind of hurt. And, like, I would love if we could
do okay,
this.
So vulnerability.
But not, I have to avoid her because you know how much I hate conflict.
You know what I like, though, is that
you're
it's...
Taylor Swift.
It's that I have to avoid conflict and avoid her and, like, downplay this. Let me say it in Rolling Stone.
In Rolling Stone.
Let me put it in a major publication.
Passive aggressive.
It is. I like the pettiness, though. I'm not going to lie.
It's petty.
It is petty.
Get it. She gets petty points,
petty
but not well. Like alpha female points.
Okay, that's interesting. See, I guess I look at like what's happening right now. I don't know. I can't tell how much of this is just my algorithm bubble and how much of this is everyone's experience right now.
Yeah.
But everything on TikTok is like people speculating about Taylor and Travis Kelce, and I think that the NFL's response were like literally in their bio on Twitter. They changed it to NFL Taylor's version. Every piece of content.
I love that. Get that money,
she
NFL.
Owned the like she controls the freaking world right now. And so I'm like, I look at that and I'm like, that's, how did she even do that?
How do you feel about the wielding of that power though? So she's at the NFL game. It boosts viewership of the
Travis Kelce jerseys spike sales by 400%.
Everything spikes up.
Yeah.
And yet she leaves the game in the popcorn machine hiding inside. Like, how do you reconcile those things?
I really just think she's
annoyed with people almost, taking pictures of her.
No, because I think it's like the Willy Wonka thing. Like, I think she is such a showman that, like, leaving in the, what more diva way than to be like,
it's strategic.
I'm going to freaking leave inside. Okay. And then she drove off with him in his convertible. So, like, she.
You weren't trying to hide that much.
And she, yeah. That was strategic too.
Okay.
Like, everything that woman does is on purpose. And I think that there's something to that because. Usually she's not seen outside of, like, literally a bulletproof Escalade. She's in a convertible in, like, downtown Kansas City. And people were like, where's her security? Like, so that's what tells me, like
she thought
this is planned. This is intentional. She doesn't do anything on accident.
Yep.
I think it's because she's going to be re-releasing 1989. Now,
she's like, I got to do some PR here.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm fine with that. I like that as moves. And, like, also people are, like, dynamic, right? So, like, not everything that you do, I'm going to be like, oh, I hate that. I think that if it's strategic, I think that's cool. I also think when you see award shows, she's really good at, like, making these, like, crazy faces and having a whole experience. So that camera is on her. Smart. I like that. That's playing the game. So, like, I think there are some places that she does it.
Yeah, I see.
If I
hear you.
Contrast this, for example, to, like, things I see Rihanna do, for me, fits more squarely in the, like, aspirational bucket.
Okay.
So, like, Rihanna, I saw this interview of her, and they were clowning her because she's known, apparently, for leaving restaurants and taking the restaurant's wine glass and just walking out, like, to go, to go. And at first, they, like, showed a picture of her doing it. And she was like, oh, like, that might have been my glass. And then they just start showing, like, countless pictures of her doing this with the glass. And it's clearly her taking the wine glass. Like, I actually
what did she
feel
say?
Like, she was just kind of like, yeah. And, like, to me, that's,
okay, you got
that's
me.
The response. Like, yeah, you got me. I took the wine glass. To me, I actually might give myself a challenge of just, like, walking out with the wine glass.
You should.
I think
tonight,
I'm going to do that.
Dinner.
Done.
100%.
Done.
That's your
I'm going
door. Here's your door.
We will maybe record it or something. But, like, yeah.
I think, I hear you. And so I think to.
Over the popcorn, like, over leaving in the popcorn machine, I'm taking just walking out with the wine glass.
Yeah, it's a little more low-key. It's a little more subtle, maybe less.
What's more subtle?
Walking out with the wine glass than leaving in a popcorn machine. Like
yeah.
To me, one feels, like, engineered for attention. The other feels like I'm just going to live my life and you're going to take pictures of it anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to take pictures anyway. Even, I think, the engineering for attention still has a little bit of the provingness to it. I think if you look, for example, speaking of sort of, like, the Rihanna contrast, at Rihanna's 2023 Super Bowl performance, right?
Brilliant.
Where brilliant in some ways, but not like people do Super Bowl and they're, like, coming down from the ceiling and it's like a whole crazy theatrical thing. That is not what she did.
Yeah.
She kind of, like, minimal.
And a lot of people didn't get it.
A couple of
non-Rihanna fans that were like, what was that?
Because it was kind of like womp womp. In terms of production value,
yeah.
But you know what she was doing? She was selling that lipstick.
Fenty ad.
She was selling that lipstick. She was selling that lipstick. It was literally an ad because as she starts the performance, the dancer next to her hands her the, like, lipstick. She then puts on that lipstick, does the performance. Immediately after, marketing team timed up, queued up, ready to go. Drops the drop of, like, her new
line. It was a new product.
It was a new product. 5.6 million right there.
Same night. Oh, my God.
Yep. So in 12 hours.
I wonder though, even hours. Is $5.6 million, like, that much to Rihanna? That feels like...
Maybe.
You know what I mean? I wonder how that, like, compares to...
Yeah.
Overall bottom line number. Like, was that, like... she be like, that was a successful launch? You know what I mean?
Interesting. Like, we think it's all impressive.
Yeah, like, $5 million in 12 hours. Holy shit. But...
Interesting. I can imagine how... Like, for the current version of myself, in that scenario, would be worried that I was making my performance too much of an ad.
Mm.
And I would be in meetings like, ooh, like, I don't know. We've got to figure out how to, like, navigate this and what we're going to do about that. Like, I think the current version of myself would not feel ready to go on, like, it's an ad. Take it.
I'm here to sell products.
Yeah, but
if, like, I'm performing for free,
to that, yeah, if I'm performing for free, maybe it's not for free, but, like, people, like, break even on those kind of shows because, like, it takes a lot of money to produce.
Yeah, I don't think they get paid for them.
You get paid, but, like, it ends. A lot of people come out of pocket for it.
Yeah, because
if you want to do a big show, like, you have to come out of pocket for it. So, like, it's really just sort of like publicity.
What I'm trying to figure out is what is a, like, real person application of this. Like, okay, if I'm channeling, because we have a big product launch at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Where every year we re-release a new version of our product.
Yeah.
And I feel like when it comes to re-releases of something that you've been selling for a while, hype is, like, the name of the game, you know? So after the break, I want to get into this with you, yeah, and talk a little bit more about how you build hype strategically if you're not Taylor Swift and people don't care about you.
Let's
womp womp.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, so every year, we basically have this hero product, and I think I kind of alluded to this in a previous episode, but
yeah.
We re-release it every year because it's like a planner. So you know how you'll buy, like, an agenda,
yeah,
like a day planner, and you have to buy a new one every year? Same principle, but it's for your money. And it's digital.
Oh, for your money. Okay.
For your money. And so every year we make a ton of enhancements.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty exciting process, and it takes a pretty long time. We invest a lot of money into, like, getting it right. And it's interesting the way the marketing and promotion for it has had to evolve over time, because
yeah,
when it first came out, there really was no playbook. It was just like, okay, this exists now. Here, go buy it.
How do you market,
like, it? Like, on Instagram was the main way at first. I would just talk about it and yeah, then link it in,
like,
my
you
story.
Make a reel about it or something?
Yeah.
Link in,
I mean,
bio.
Honestly, even at the time, there weren't reels, and I didn't have, like, the swipe up in stories.
Some video posts.
Yeah, it was pretty, you'd literally a carousel of,
yeah,
just 1 minute
get
long.
Yeah, you only swipe up in stories at, like, 10K followers.
So when I
like
launched
that, okay,
it, I didn't have that. So
yeah,
I think, I think you're right. I think it was just, like, on the website. But every year, as we've kind of, as it's become a bigger and bigger deal and it's become a bigger part of our business and
yeah,
revenue, it's like that's kind of like the main source of revenue in
yeah,
Q4. It's the primary, it's a big injection.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of pressure on it to do well.
Yeah.
But this year we're trying something where we have a I would say a more robust social rollout,
yeah,
where it's like in the 8 weeks leading up to the release,
yeah,
there is just content like every single
it,
week. Like, here's what it, you know, this, like, glow up video. There's a
yeah,
behind the scenes of making it. There's
how
sneak
planned
peeks.
I know you like to be, like, planned and
mm-hmm,
meticulous. How planned is this rollout launch?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's
hour by hour block kind of situations, like your calendar.
No,
or
but
not?
We have concepts. So
yeah,
it's like we'll have a concept and then I'll start to try to iterate on it in CapCut, which is the editing software
yeah,
that I like
yeah,
to use. So I'll try, but sometimes I'm like, I'm not great at video, so this is something that I think I need to, like, ask someone. Like,
why are you, I was literally just thinking, why are
yeah,
you editing your own video?
I should just, like, give all the material to someone else and be like, will you make this
someone
look, like, make this spreadsheet look cool. So
yeah,
we have that. There's we have a more extensive email campaign this year too, where now that we have, this is our fifth one.
Yeah.
So it's like, we have a lot of data now about these waitlist campaigns where
it's a waitlist campaign.
We build our list of everyone that opts in.
Yeah.
And everyone that opts in gets a discount at launch weekend. That's standard.
Great.
We've
okay,
always done that. This year they get a freebie if they're on the waitlist too. And we have different discount tiers and different email funnels for people that bought in 2023 and people that own multiple versions of it. So
okay,
we're really like,
is there some like urgency and scarcity built into the campaign structure? Like, do you have to get like once you're on the waitlist, you have to get it by a certain time?
It's
or
that
no?
The discount is time bound.
It's
so
time
the
bound,
launch
yeah,
weekend is like,
yep,
the new purchasers who have never, we don't have any purchase history from them. I think it's 10% off. People that had it last year get 20. And then people that have bought it multiple years get 40% off. Yeah. And it's like through Black Friday weekend. So I'm like, really, I've been spending a lot of time recently. Like, how do I make a spreadsheet look cool? How do I build hype around
this
product even more?
The product?
That is like a digital, it's like a Google Sheet basically, but like a tricked out Google Sheet that I use. Love it. All year long.
You know that I love spreadsheets, by the way.
They're the greatest.
Yeah.
Freaking the sheets.
We mainly
merch.
Build apps at apps.code, and like the spreadsheet starts as like the database, and we turn the spreadsheet into an app.
Oh, I wondered about that.
I love this.
Okay, well, maybe we could help me turn it into an app.
Yeah, let's do it. That's
I
fun.
Actually like really want to do that. I think it'd be fun to turn it into software. But okay, well, that's the rollout plan.
No, I like that you use sort of that scarcity and urgency structure. I actually use like a similar structure like I do classes and like free workshops, and there's a discount just for people who come.
And how often are you hosting those?
Yeah. Okay. So I do a monthly one for my community that's like multi-days, and we like pick a famous app and build a replica of a famous app just to like show people how it works. It's not like your app idea, but like I built Instagram, I built Fitbit or like whatever. And then I also do, we sort of run ads to ones that I do each week. So those are like it's different
people. And they're live every time.
They're live every time. Yeah. There was like an era of like
the pre-recorded
that
webinar.
That was the trend, but like it's not really my thing. So like we did try maybe like three of them. I just like didn't feel great about it. But like if I go on vacation.
Did you notice that conversion was lower when it was pre-recorded?
No, usually conversion's higher.
So then wait a second.
So
you're like, let me put in more effort for less.
Let me tell you why. Because the conversion is higher because people can go immediately into it. Like they don't have to wait for the day that like I'm not gonna do it every day. So like I do it like once a week.
Oh.
And so because you don't have to wait, the funnel like funnels people in really quickly, right? In the same way
it's that, like
if you could get your Taylor Swift tickets and like didn't have to wait for a certain date, like you can just like whenever you think of it, go
like don't have the time to talk yourself out of spending $2,000.
Exactly, like
so
you just go right in from a funnel perspective.
What tool did you use though, because I'm actually curious about this for the future. What tool did you use to host the pre-recorded webinars that then where someone goes to the landing page, they can pick their time from the drop-down list, and then it automatically pulls them in place, and then like the automated option?
I use Webinar Jam for like both options.
Okay, I've heard of that.
They have like two sides of the product. They have like a webinar product and it's called like Ever Webinar. We don't really use the Ever Webinar product, but like it comes in the suite. So I like that the best. I just think that there's so many webinar tools where you either have to like download them and like what if people doesn't have it downloaded?
Friction.
Yeah, it's frictionful. And now everybody has Zoom, but it's kind of different. Or they just crash in the middle of the webinar. And there's nothing worse than spending like thousands of dollars running ads to a thing. You've got thousands of people there to show up and it just crashes in the middle and like your ROI is gone. Like it's the worst thing ever. And it's happened too many times.
So you are running ads to these.
Yeah, we run ads to these.
You know what would be so interesting? I wonder if we should run ads for the Wealth Planner to get people into the list. I wonder if we have a separate wait list for people that are not Money with Katie followers, where we're just promoting the product to them as though the product is
try small tests of it. I think you just want to think really clearly through your funnel. And I think sometimes sending people straight, I think it's what price point range is it?
It's like around $50.
Okay.
It's a pretty low hurdle.
Okay, so I think
opinion.
At that price point, you can just run straight to the landing page, but I think you need to do a good amount of retargeting too. Because even if that person doesn't make the decision on the spot, like you know how like when you click on something you then all of a sudden see ads for it like all the time, that's a retargeting ad, which means like you clicked on it, there's a pixel, it knows that it's you, it knows where you're interested, and then you have sort of specific retargeting
and
ads.
Do you run your ads yourself or do you have someone that does this? Okay. I don't even know why I asked that. Obviously you're not doing it yourself. I know, dude. This is my problem. Do you see this? Immediately in my head, I'm adding this to the mental to-do list of like, okay, have to learn how to use Facebook Business Manager.
No.
It's not like, all right, let me figure out who can.
I mean, like, I learned enough so that I could like tell if someone was BSing and like didn't know their stuff. So
when you say you learned enough, any specific resources you liked, or you were just straight up going to Google?
For me, not going to Google. Like, I have different friends who like teach some of this stuff. I sort of like rolled up my sleeves and like went in to look. So I think I like took some courses on it, and I also just sort of like
So you educated yourself.
Yeah,
you
educated
weren't just
myself.
Like, let me outsource.
I like to educate myself for hiring purposes. So like, for example, I had this guy, Xander, he's a great friend of mine now. He sold his company to Google. Google ended up sort of phasing that out, and he worked on Google Ventures, which came up with this design thinking process, Google Ventures design sprint process.
Dude, yeah. We use this at Southwest years.
Love
the design.
So he had really like learned all of that stuff directly there, and he taught me the design sprint process because I wanted to hire a designer, and I was like, I don't even know what a good designer is, what a bad designer is. I'm gonna be in the interview and someone's gonna be saying something. I'm like, what do you even like? I don't know.
You can't judge.
So I need to know enough to do the interview. I need to know enough to like do a little case study project with you and have vocabulary. So mainly if I'm learning stuff, it's not for me to do it. It's for me.
So you can make the right hiring decision.
So I can make the right hiring. Even when like I was starting my business and I didn't have any budget to hire, and I was like, I'm gonna do a bartering scenario, which doing when I started. I don't do it as much now, but like, I'll do this for you. Like, we kind of find someone who can help me with something, ask them what's going on in their business, in their world, like, what do they need help with? And like, I'm scanning that conversation for something I know how to do. And then like, hey, I can help you with this if you help me with this. I did so many like bartering hires early on. And so like, when I say hiring, that kind of like, now it doesn't quite look like that.
Okay, but I like that's a more accessible though option if you are early stages,
yeah,
to be able to be like, okay, well, I know, for example, my thing that I'm good at copywriting.
Yeah.
That was what I did professionally prior. So I'm like, sales emails, regular landing pages, blog. Like, if you need copy.
I bet there's a bunch of people who are listening right now who know ads really well and have to do copyright. Yeah, like barter right there.
Yeah.
Right? So, and probably as part of their ads business, have to write a bunch of copy, and they're like, dang, I got to do this part again. Right. So that's the barter.
Yeah. Yeah. And to kind of wrap this conversation, can we talk about how cringy the word webinar is? Because I hear webinar and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah,
we
I
need
don't
a
really use
word.
The word
you say
webinar.
Workshop. I've noticed
I say
that.
Workshop or masterclass.
Oh, we also say masterclass. Yeah, webinar, there's something very like late 90s about it that I'm just not.
I'm with you on
I'm
that.
Not down with.
I'm with you on that. It has like a different vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Different vibe to it. Okay, so we were talking earlier about like confidence, and you were telling me about your crying moment with Taylor Swift, and I was thinking about like the energy in a concert space.
Yes.
Right. Like, because it kind of like when you go to a concert, it's buzzing, like mm-hmm. you get like hyped up and excited. And there's this book that I really like. It's called Levels of Energy by Frederick Dodson. And it directly like is something that I study and look at as I'm on my own like confidence journey. And what it is like this guy has a scale from like 0 to 600. And each of the numbers are like, he calls it like your energy level, but really what he means by that is like your average emotional state.
Average emotional state.
So like, for example, at like a
low. Oh God, I don't want to know what mine is.
A 20 is like if you're like in grief, really like guilt all the time, like kind of
shame,
lower vibration, shame. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. All the way to like 600 is like a monk. Or something like that. Right?
Okay.
But there's a bunch in between. And by the way, like none of us are in one place all the time. Mm-hmm. We all move around, but you kind of have an average.
Yeah.
Right. So I was thinking about this because I think that there's a level that for me is aspirational. And I think like as we talk about like things to do to get your business out there, things like people that we look up to in terms of like their confidence style, like this framework in this book kind of like rings out to me because there's like a level that's like high 400s, low 500s. And it's where like stars with followers typically are. Where their like joy and creativity is their regular state. They're kind of in a sense of like awe and wow about the world. Like they can appreciate like, oh man, this is beautiful. And they often can like command energy and attention in the room.
Okay.
Right? Like it kind of like, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs at the bottom, it's like food, safety, shelter. And as you get higher, like what you're really trying to do is like self-actualize, become the highest and best version of yourself. And I often think about like my own journey to like get to that.
Where do you feel like, can you read us through these energy levels? Because I feel like
yes,
there is a lot between depression and monk. So I'm like,
a lot.
I also want to like place myself on this.
Yeah.
On this ladder. So okay. Can you read through them?
Okay. So I think there's like two different frameworks that I'm referring to. And I think I kind of like think of them side by side.
Okay.
One of them is like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? So like the bottom level is like you have getting your biological needs taken care
yes.
of. If I jump up a couple, it's like esteem needs, like achievement, recognition, respect, competence, like getting those things. And then if we jump up a couple levels after that, it's like aesthetic needs, like beauty, order, symmetry, things looking inspiring and beautiful. And then we sort of jump up a few levels too, or like a level, it's like self-actualization, like fulfilling your potential.
Oh, okay. Right?
And I think that like inside of that, then there's this other book that I was referring to that has like the numbers from 0 to 60, right? So like, okay, 20 is like guilt, grief, whatever. 250 is like orderly life, like a societal structure. You're like not really, you know, thinking outside the box.
Oh.
Regularly.
Coloring inside the lines.
Coloring inside the lines.
Vibe.
Right. A 380 in his book is like wanting to like do more like high performance business. Like this is where entrepreneurship comes into play because you can't do a lot of entrepreneurship coloring in the lines. You
interesting. Gotta
like go outside the lines a little bit. It's like a high performance business at that level.
Okay.
Right? All the way to like I was talking about that 480 with like stars, with followers and like joy and creativity, like in your zone.
To me, I imagine like magnets at that phase.
Magnets.
It's like you are literally just
magnets.
There's something very magnetic.
You're
about
so connected
you.
With yourself. Sorry
yes,
to get woo woo a little bit for a second, but like so connected with yourself that like
just
people
draws
see that and are drawn
you.
Into that. And I think that's what you were experiencing.
I think so too. I think that's why I wanted to be there. Just not only to experience it, but being like, please rub off on me. Like I want some of this.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. Yeah.
Do you see yourself at all in Taylor Swift?
I mean, no, I really don't.
Really? I think you're like the Taylor Swift of personal finance.
Well, there it is. I just need that to play on a loop every day. Okay. I think in an aspirational way, like I think that'd be the end goal, the end game, if you will. I don't think that's where I am now.
I have a Pinterest board that is of you and my vision of you. And
you do not.
I do.
Are you shitting me?
I lightly like mentioned it to you to see if you wanted me to like if she said
you,
send
when
it
did
to
you
me,
mention this to me?
Text, I texted this to you and I was like, okay, if she wants to see it, she'll like say something.
I totally missed this.
So like, maybe she doesn't want to see it.
I'm an only child. I love attention. Are you kidding? You made a Pinterest board about
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Of course I want to see
a
it.
A lot of my friends, like, I think of, like, how I see myself. I have, like, literally one called How I See Myself, and I sort of see how it expands over time.
Of course I want to see this.
Definitely Taylor Swift-y of personal finance. There's lots of fashion in it because I like fashion.
Oh, my God. We have to look at this, like,
yeah.
immediately.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't want to like, push it on you.
Time to look at Pinterest.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to wrap up, but I want to play a game.
Okay.
I like a game.
She loves a game.
Okay. All right. So this game is called Which Celebrity's Confidence Style Do You Have?
Oh, perfect.
What's your celebrity confidence style? So I have like a quiz. You know like those Cosmo quizzes?
Yeah.
I asked ChatGPT. I love ChatGPT, guys.
Of course.
I asked ChatGPT to make me a Cosmo style quiz so everyone who's listening can like, you just gotta write down your answers.
Okay.
You have, maybe you can remember.
I'll remember them.
Okay.
I'll remember them.
All right. So there's just four questions. So be quick. All right, first question. When faced with a challenge, you A, dive right in, B, plan meticulously, C, trust your instincts, or D, take calculated risks. Don't tell me the answer yet. Just okay. like in your head.
Got it.
Everybody got their answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Second question. Your preferred business attire is A, bold and daring, B, polished and classic, C, glamorous and sophisticated, D, comfortable and elegant.
Okay.
Okay. Next question. We're halfway through.
Okay.
Question three. How do you deal with criticism? A,
crying.
Maintaining your vision. B, reflecting and refining. C, using it as fuel. Or D, embrace and rise. Don't tell me yet. I have one more and then you can.
Okay, okay. Sorry, last I'm one, like last one. So torn on that one.
Okay.
Was there an option for crying?
No.
Just kidding.
No, but like maybe that's included. You could do all of those and cry. I'm a big advocate for crying.
Okay.
I cry fantastic. All the time. Okay. All right, last question. Your approach to leadership is A, innovative and fearless, B, inclusive and thoughtful, C, empowering and passionate, or D, visionary and transformative.
Okay.
Okay. So in Cosmo quiz style, I'm going to give you the answers. So if you have mostly A's, you have Rihanna's confidence style. You're daring and unapologetic. You inspire with innovative spirit, bold choices.
Okay.
If you had mostly B's.
That's what I had.
You were like Taylor Swift.
Yes!
Confidence style.
Mother.
Polished. Mother.
Mother's
polished,
mothering.
Planned, inclusive, fostering collaboration in a growth-oriented environment.
What happens if, actually, wait, I'll let you finish and then okay. I'll ask you my question.
If you had mostly C's, which some people here may have had, this is like Beyonce's confidence style. Powerful, resilient, like Beyonce, your passion and resilience inspire others to strive for excellence and break barriers.
Okay,
love and that. The last one, mostly D's, Oprah Winfrey's confidence style. Your confidence is visionary and graceful, like Oprah's. You empower and build enduring success through wisdom and resilience.
I had one D.
I had one D. I had
that's
mostly
our Oprah
A's,
overlap.
Mostly A's, so I got mostly Rihanna's. You got mostly...
Whoa!
You got mostly Taylor?
Yeah, you had mostly Rihanna's. Oh my gosh.
Three Rihanna's, one Oprah.
Okay, and so that's our Venn diagram where we just
overlap
look in the middle.
With a little with a
what
little
I was going to ask is how much of this... Have you ever taken a personality quiz and been like, I feel like I'm answering this as the person I want to be as opposed to like my most authentic whatever? Mm-hmm. I do wonder... How much of my answers are like what I perceive to be the that'll be an episode
we can go
for
back
another
and
day.
Check, but like I think some of these felt like on brand.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too. That's really funny.
Yeah. Okay, so meticulous. We want to hear what everyone got as their answer. Mm-hmm. Which of your confidence styles you have? So maybe you can comment. Can we see folks' comments?
Comment or email.
We
love comment an email.
Or email. We want to see what your different confidence styles are and what everybody's different style was.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.